All right, so if you have turned in your Bibles to Ephesians 3, turn to verse 7 or your Bible app. Or you can just listen. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purposes that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let us say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice. Pastor Randy, may I pray for you? Okay. May you guys bow your head, and you can actually even put your hand out towards Pastor Randy right now. Heavenly Father, please, please come into this church right now and touch our pastor as he leads us. May the Spirit overflow him and be in him as he continues to lead this church body. May every person in here be filled with your Spirit. And Heavenly Father, we ask for a special blessing over him. May you continue to guide him, not just in his thoughts, but in his actions and everything he does. May he continue to be glorified. May he know and discern the Spirit and what you have and what you desire for him to do. May his words just touch every single person, whether he is on this stage or off this stage. Heavenly Father, we pray for his health. We pray that you continue to watch over him. We pray that you strengthen him. We pray that the ground not be shaken that he walks on. We pray that he know that he sits with you, Father. May he remember that all things will be done through you, Father. Heavenly Father, may he continue to not only walk in the Spirit, but may we all continue to be baptized by the Spirit. And may your love and your word and divine intervention continue to overflow. Heavenly Father, not only protect him, but protect all the things that Pastor Randy loves. May nothing be used against him as he continues to honor you and help each of us as we walk with you and develop and strengthen our relationship with you, Father. We are so grateful for to him, to Shelly, to his entire family. And Heavenly Father, we ask that we be there for him, that you show us what he needs, not just for the church, but individually. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, the answer is always yes. If you say, Pastor, can I pray? Yes, the answer is always yes. That is so good. Thank you so much. Thank you, Tiffany. And thank you for reading the scriptures from Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to hit this and try to tackle some of the things that we began last week, but I kind of got carried away and didn't finish up. And so I want to share those things that we began last week. And Colin, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and have you do the clicking today. And so let's begin with this very first slide here from Matthew chapter 16. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replies, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus answers him and says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, or son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And so what he's saying there is that Peter is going to be the one who preaches the very first sermon and opens the gates for people to come and to know the Lord. And then as you see this, as you realize that ultimately Christ is leaving this world and leaving behind one organization, it is the church. And that church is enough for us. Why? Because ultimately there are five purposes of a life and there are five purposes of a church. And they are incredibly important, but strangely, they perfectly match up. That means that ultimately you and I have been created by our God to find everything that we genuinely need in the idea of and the organism of the church. Now let's keep moving here, and then you see our big idea that we've been talking about even since week one, and that is the church is where you have both a family and a function. And so as you go on to this next slide, you see as well something that I want to just kind of slow down and mention here from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 through 11. He says, "To me," Paul says, "though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through what? The church, the manifold wisdom," and I've kind of capitalized that so you wouldn't miss it, "the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purposes that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, this idea, as we kind of look at the manifold wisdom, we're going to talk about that, but also the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. I want to share with you that the rulers and authorities of the heavenly places, it's showing us that ultimately there are about five times in the book of Ephesians alone that the heavenly places is mentioned. You might have heard that from Ephesians chapter 6, probably in the idea and the concept of spiritual warfare, the heavenly places that we encounter there. But what he's also saying, it's not just the negative, but it is also the positive, because it says that he raised him and then he seated him in the heavenly places where he is at the right hand of God. And so as we see all of these things, we realize that basically the heavenly places means a spiritual realm. And so what Paul is reminding us is that we actually live in not just a physical world, but a spiritual one. And so if you are a person who only concerns yourself with the things that are going on in this world and nothing else, then you will not be living the way that God would have you to live. Because he does not want us to walk by faith. He wants us to walk by faith, but not by sight. And so what's happening for most of us is we invest all of our time, we invest all of our thoughts, all of our concerns, all of our interest in the things that will ultimately pass away, that we believe that this world is full of, and yet we never really take time to take our minds and set them on things above. Are you guys with me? Can I get an amen? Dangerously close. Dangerously close, everybody. All right, so, but you'll be ready the next time. It's the running joke. It's the running joke, okay? But as we move on to this next slide, I want to just share with you that ultimately the big idea is where you have a family and a function, but also the members of that family grow by dying to self and living in the Spirit. And so what I mean by that, I'm going to share a little bit more of. But what I want to convey to all of us is that ultimately, whenever we talk about a wall or a building or something like that, you and I are part of the stones, the living stones, as Peter says in 1 Peter, that we are the ones who make up God's building, as he says in Ephesians by Paul. And so ultimately, we need to realize that part of the reason that we've had a change among us whenever a handful of us got really serious about really investing in our spiritual life is because ultimately, we are the stones that make up God's building. We are the ones who are that royal priesthood, those living stones. We talk about Christ being the cornerstone all the time. And then what does that mean? Does it mean that that's the only stone in the building? No. It means that the building is made up of many stones, and the stronger that those stones are, the more that they are willing to fit together well, the more powerful and formidable the building becomes. Now, can I get an amen on that? Okay, yeah, y'all are learning. All right, I get it. Let's keep going as we do here. And if you're wondering, I forgot my clicker today. So poor Colin, he's like, man, I got to pay attention. All right, so here's what I would share with you. Don't miss this. Satan doesn't have to engage you in a spiritual battle if you allow him to only keep you distracted, discouraged, and disengaged constantly. I didn't think I'd get an amen, but it is true. I want to say it one more time. Satan doesn't even have to worry about engaging you in spiritual battles if you allow him to keep you constantly distracted, constantly discouraged, and constantly disengaged from what God's trying to do in your life, because he's already won. So if I were you, what I would encourage you to do is click into the idea that I am not just a physical being in a physical world. I am a part of the eternal church, and it needs me to play my role and do my part and be who I am supposed to be as I try my very best not to go to church, but to be the church. And so ultimately, you can waste your life and you can waste your potential, and it's enough for Satan to say, I've already won the war, because he doesn't have to get you to fall down because you're kind of on the sidelines anyway. So it doesn't really ultimately matter that much. Are y'all with me? And so I encourage you, don't miss this. Satan's in this game to distract you, to discourage you, and to get you to disengage from what God is trying to do. But what Paul is talking about in this grand scheme of the church, he's saying, you have a part to play. You're a part of this family, and you also have a function. Don't come to just be blessed. Come to be a blessing. We've been talking about a lot of these same themes over and over. Now, let's keep moving as we go on here. And I want to just share with you the word translated manifold. And this is from gotquestions.org, but I want you to make sure and see this. It means many and varied, having many features and forms, wrought in various colors, diversified, intricate, complex, and many-sided. That's what manifold means. So in other words, whenever he says the manifold wisdom of God is being displayed in you and in me, what is it saying? It's saying that we in our church, and let me just get real personal about us, this is part of what's working well in our church, that we need to make sure that we don't give away, that ultimately wrought in various colors, diversified, intricate, complex, and many-sided. That means that the more that we don't look like what the world looks like, the more God gets the glory from what we look like. All right? So what I'm saying here is, this is not a normal thing. I mean, we've got probably about 15 or 16 different nations that are represented here in first and second generations. And yes, this is kind of a quick little insight. International Sunday's coming decently soon, okay, so be ready. I saw one of you go like, yes, all right. So we're going to have a great time that day. But what is so powerful is that we don't just simply look like the world out there where everybody collects via the political party that they're a part of, the socioeconomic status that they're a part of. Like all of these dividers that mankind wants to throw out, Christ is destroying the barriers. And the more that we can let him destroy the barriers so this place doesn't look like that out there, the more that God is going to get the glory and people are going to say, there's something different about those guys because it's truly a different kind of place than the ones that we always see. Can I get a good amen on that? Okay, so let's be that. Let's keep on being that. Let's not let anything infiltrate those things that would put us aside and keep us from loving one another first and foremost because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, very quickly as we keep moving here, and I want to just kind of keep moving, from back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19, we're going to kind of settle in and look at this group of three verses and just see some of the lessons that we're going to learn. Now, I already spent a lot of time on this first one, and I, to be honest, didn't get past it, which I wish I would have. But I didn't get past it, but I'm going to share with you where we were, and I'm going to keep moving pretty quickly. So let's check it out. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. In other words, he wants you to be growing spiritually. He wants you to be getting better spiritually because more and more of the old you is dying and more of the good Spirit of God is like working his way through and you're releasing stuff and you're, as John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. And so that's happening in your life. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But let's go to our next slide if you don't mind. Everyone knows that on any given day there are energies that are slumbering within him, which the incitements of that day do not call forth. Compared with what we ought to be, we are only half awake. There's a whole message in this alone, but let me just share this with you. A Christian should never be walking through life half awake. It never should happen. The human individual usually lives far within his limits. How much more so when you have the unlimited power of Jesus Christ that you and I are living within our limits rather than living at the edge of them. And so for you and I, we need to decide, you know what? Instead of just kind of making it through and making it along and ending the day knowing that we probably had a whole lot more to give and we had a lot more to give last week and the month before that as well as the year before that, instead we get off the sidelines and say, I want to make a difference in people's lives and I want to see God at work in my own life. That's where we begin to see things change. Let's keep moving here. And so I talked last week about God's word becoming a part of your life 4 days weekly. And I'm not going to go into it. You could have been here last week when I made fun of myself about going to the gym and not going to the gym and all that mess. But I'm going to tell you here that this four seems to be a magic number. As you go to this next slide, you'll see it's what they call the power of four. This is odbm.org, which is ourdailybreadministries.org. And it talks about the power of four, how if you engage in the Bible 4 days a week, it is related to all of these reductions in the negative and all of the increases in the positive, including not just mindset, but also actions. And so you and I need to have God's word constantly flowing into us for it to truly change us. And there seems to be something magical about going over that line where you step over the halfway mark and go 4 times out of 7 days instead of just 2 or 3 or whatever it might be. Now, let's keep moving to this next slide and just very quickly, you can see this, the way that this makes an impact, whether it's feeling lonely, experiencing fear or anxiety, sharing your faith with others, and there's the positive and the negative. And check this one out here on the bottom left here, this feeling spiritually stagnant. If you are feeling spiritually stagnant, I would guess that probably you're not engaging in the scriptures 4 times a week because God's word is living and active and powerful, and it will change your life. Okay, let's keep moving here. And I told you I wouldn't stay there long. I feel good about that. All right. Now, you may be saying to me, well, Randy, I'd love to read the scriptures. I really would. But, you know, I also love Netflix, right? Or you could say, well, I love to read the scriptures, but I also can't seem to put down my phone. I get that. But here's what I would share with you. Do you want to be a child the rest of your life? Do you want to be a spiritual child the rest of your life? Because most of us don't, but we have to make decisions that don't put us in a place where we will be receiving what a child would receive. He talks about how we are to grow up in the Word and in the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, I would love to eat nothing but cheesecake every single day of my life. Every meal of every single day of my life. Cheesecake. Turtle cheesecake, tiramisu cheesecake, strawberry cheese. I mean, I've got a list. But I also don't want to feel like trash. So I make a mature decision. Look, Randy, you can have cheesecake, but make it every couple of weeks, not every single day, every single meal. It's just that simple. And most of the stuff that comes through your TV or through your phone is not putting you in a better place, it's putting you in a worse one. And so it's easier, it feels better in the moment, but later you feel like junk. Later you're in a bad headspace. It's not surprising. And so you and I have to make a good, mature decision. And we do that in a lot of other areas of our life. Do I want to sleep in, or do I want to actually pay my bills? I will wake up and go to work on Monday to pay my bills. Why? Because you've made a mature decision. We do that across the board, and yet we fail to do it in our spiritual lives. Why? Why? Isn't your spiritual life supposed to be one of the most important things to you? You see? Now I'm just meddling, right? Now you're like, well, can we keep moving? I get it. All right, I'm going to keep moving. But here's the truth. We have to make a good decision. We have to shepherd our thirst to what will bring us happiness and joy and holiness and righteousness instead of the things that will absolutely destroy us if we keep moving. All right, let's keep moving here as we go on. Now, don't miss this. One of the biggest decisions that you can make towards your spiritual growth is the foothold that you're going to let God's word have in your life. That's that power of four that I've already mentioned. Let's keep moving to the next slide as well. So, five ways to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to hit these fairly quickly. God's word, to regularly pray, and to be outward focused as we serve others in humility. Now, let's go to that section of three verses again on the next slide, and we'll talk a little bit about it. It says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your what? Inner being. Strengthen the interior of your life, your spiritual side, so that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now, if you and I are not rooted and grounded in love in such a way that it actually makes its way out, we're probably not truly rooted and grounded in love. Because when you look at a tree that is truly rooted and grounded, it starts producing fruit, like the fruit of the Spirit. So the more that we connect with God's Spirit on a regular basis, the more it comes out in us. And if you can't genuinely see a big difference in the way that you used to live and think and act, versus the way that you still live and think and act, then you need to check and see if you're really rooted and grounded in the Lord. Can I get an amen on that? Y'all with me? Okay, so let's go to our next slide here. And I shared this with my daughter because the one on the right is one I thought she would get a huge kick out of. So what this means is, like, I don't judge, but meanwhile my face says this on the left. Or when I'm listening to somebody talk and I forget that my face has subtitles. Any of y'all got subtitles on your face? You know what I'm talking about? All right, a couple of y'all. All right, yeah, you're the ones that aren't lying. The rest of them are like, no, not me. Well, go to your mirror. I'm just, all right, anyway, what is he saying here? He's saying that if it's on the inside, it usually finds a way to make its way to the, and if you're truly rooted and grounded in love, and yet nobody can really tell that your life is changing, are you really truly rooted and grounded in love? It should be something that's written all over your face in a good way. Okay? So what he's saying here, what Zendaya? Which one is? All right, anyway, me and my daughters have this big argument about it. Zendaya, isn't it? Yeah, I get it wrong every time. All right, as we keep moving here, let it be all over your face in a good way. All right. The five ways to walk in the Spirit, it's God's word, it's regularly praying, it's serving others, because if you're not concerned about God's people, you probably are not as connected to God as you would like to be. And then fourthly, we must decrease and he must increase, and I put that because it's G-R-O-W-S, all five of those there. I could have gone more easily, and I didn't go to every one that I could have gone to, but then also we need to stay connected to his body, the church. And that's church as well as the capital C, church. Now, let's keep moving here as we go on to our next slide. So we go back to that same group of three verses where he says, you being rooted and grounded in love, so much so that it comes out of you, so we may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. And what is he saying about all the saints? He means that you and I are supposed to be a part of the body of Christ, not just simply doing it on our own. This world in 2026 tells you that your spiritual life is your deal, and nobody needs to have a part in it other than you. But that is not biblical. That is actually a modern construct, but not a biblical one. Everything that tells us about the church tells us that it's made up of people who are interconnected with other of God's people. And so it's important that we grasp this. And he goes on, he says, to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, so that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. What that means very quickly at the very bottom here, the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, what does that mean? It means for a lot of people, they know it, but until they experience it, they don't really know it. Are y'all with me? You can know something, but not know something. Have we all done that? Where we know it, but we don't really feel it. We don't really believe it in our heart of hearts. What he's saying here is that part of us being a part of the family, where we are a part of that family, helps us to go beyond knowledge and go towards experience of being a part of God's family. And that's what we need to make sure that we're doing. Now, let's keep moving to our final few slides here. Dr. Tony Evans says this, faith needs community. I need you and you need me. And on our own, our faith is lacking. There are no Lone Ranger believers. If we believe all by ourselves, we will not believe for long. And I believe that. A lot of believes there, all right? But any unchurched, uninvolved Christian is living outside of the will of God. Now, I'm just saying, this is what he says, and this is what Hebrews chapter 10 says as well. Now, let's keep moving here, and church is not, church is what you do. Church is who you are. Church is the human outworking of the person of Jesus Christ. Let's not go to church, let's be the church. And I hope and pray that every single time that we meet, that whenever somebody comes in from the outside, whether they're here for the first time or the 101st time, they know that, you know what? We're a part of something different here, and it feels like God's Spirit is at work here. Now let's move on just a little bit further here. And this is that Downline Ministries that I shared with you a minute ago. And you can go and check it out if you're interested in downlineministries.com. It's gospel-centered discipleship training. And I'm going to do this very, very quickly. They know how much I love them. We had tons of time to interact and connect. And so I'm going to have to do this quickly just because of time. But I'm going to call those 15 people that were a part of our church body that have gone through Downline so that you know who they are. If you'd like to participate or have questions, you can ask them and then come and tell me if you're interested in participating. But I want to just share this with you. Ultimately, there are a couple of things. So if you came through Downline, you have your name on a certificate here, but I'm going to be passing along something that they have given to us to pass along. This is the baton. This is the idea of passing a baton from one older person to a younger person. And here on it, it says, man, I should have brought my glasses. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, my old man eyes. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will also be able to teach others. And the idea here is that this is what happens. This is how the body of Christ grows, but this is also how the members of Christ's body grow. That we do our part, not waiting for somebody else, but doing our part. A lot of times we have people that would actually be interested in being discipled, but there's nobody to point them towards, or nobody's coming and putting their arm around them. Have you ever been discipled? If not, maybe I could do that with you. And so I'm very proud of those who gave of their time and their energy and their effort and their money to be a part of Downline. And if you are interested in this, it's life-changing stuff. So this is the opportunity that I wanted to make sure and give to you, but I also want to honor our group. And so I'm going to just start. So I tell you what, let's hold our applause till the end, and then I do want to ask everybody to give them a hand. But very quickly, I'm going to start calling them up, and if you would come, I want to hand you this baton, and then you can pick up your certificate, and then you can pick up a shirt, as long as it's not the final 2X. I'm just saying, because I know a guy. Anyway, all right, pray for me that it's a 2X. Maybe it'll be a 1X next year. I'm just praying, all right? Kimberly Addicks, come up here. Come on up here, Kim. I said to hold the applause, and I love it that y'all didn't. I'm going to be honest with you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Tiffany Alzine, Asonye, let's hear it for Tiffany. Thank you. God bless you. Okay. Roseanne Smith. Come on up here, Roseanne. Frank, come along with her if you don't mind. I know that both of you guys went through, so you guys come on through. I don't know why y'all, I thought it was alphabetical, but y'all are next. And I will give you a side hug. Okay. I'm going to give you Roseanne's too. Love you, brother. Appreciate y'all. All right. So we have, let me see here, Scott and Alicia Young. Y'all come on up here if you would. Let's hear it for them as well. I can't make up my mind, can I? I'm like, don't clap, clap. Yeah, clap, don't, you know. Alicia. Did you just come in from the kids area? Okay, all right. Okay, let me see here. Teresa Guest. Why don't you and Shelly come up here together, all right? Come on up here, two ladies from the back row. What? What? Like y'all didn't see that coming. She did, I promise you. Oh, Rainey Puckett. I was in there. Peter and Patrizia, y'all come on up here. Eric and Kendall Teague, y'all come on up here. I know. Metal, fancy. Don't get in a fight with that, Eric. I've got to be watching him every time. And then Jesus and Kenya Martinez. Now, keep praying for them because they're fighting over the shirts right now. So it's not a fix everything kind of spiritual magic pill, right? But I just appreciate each one of them. I think if you look at these folks, you know in many ways that these are some of the folks that lead in our church, and I'm very, very appreciative for them. And they know that I love them and appreciate them. And they have a very special place, not only in our church, but also in my heart and Shelly's heart. And we just love you guys so much, and thank you. And you guys made a sacrifice, but I also know that every time we make a sacrifice for the Lord, we are repaid in spades. Like what he has given us back with that time that we made for him to have room to speak, it has changed our lives. And so may God bless you guys. And we're this much closer to passing on the baton to the next generation of Christians and people who want to be discipled and want to walk the same path. So thank you, guys. Can we hear it for them one more time? All right, guys, thank y'all so much. Now, if you're on the worship team, y'all come on up, okay? We're going to close out this time with a quick word of prayer in just a few moments. And we're going to sing a song as we kind of close. So they'll make their way up here. But let me just do a very quick I apply by. So Colin, if you don't mind, jump to that I apply by. Here's what it is. Consistently come to not only be blessed, but come to be a blessing in this place. Because ultimately, we are to be a blessing, not just simply receive one. and then come and build up the family by growing yourself inside, being strengthened in your inner man, but then not being a person who's like just all about the receiving, but also turning around and saying, okay, so what I have received, what do I do to be a blessing as well? And so I encourage you, focus on the inner man, but also outside the family, sharing your faith, ministering in this place as well as ministering out there in our world. That is how they know that we are his disciples, the love that we have for one another and for one another. Amen. Let's build our life that way.